Be seated, Marie. How y'all doing this morning? Better day than yesterday, huh? Sunny, nice. This is a weekend, all week, however you want to look at it. I try to every day. I try to thank a veteran. Any veterans in here, thank you for your service. Thank y'all. I truly mean that. I do it on Facebook constantly. I make it well known that without the veterans, freedom is not had. So thank you very much, and I hope you get a lot of friends, because your family goes through what you go through when you're gone. So, and the ones that don't come home to pay the ultimate price. So God bless you all. The bulletin on the back is the announcements. You're encouraged always to bring food for the food bank, and clothes if you have them, and also plastic bags. If the congregation was saying, affirmation of faith. We who are gathered here in the name of Christian Church confess that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim him Lord and Lord and Savior. We believe in the mission of the Melody Christian Church is to worship God, gather him in the around the Lord's table, and commit ourselves to the community to seek to know God and to make God unknown through study and teaching of the Scriptures, and to create a body by a community that invites and cares for all of God's people.
The call to worship, Psalms 34, 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord, the humble hear and rejoice.
Exalt the Lord and pray.
Thank you. sing that song. And it just makes chills come all over you. Oh. But you did a beautiful job. Oh,
thank you.
If you will look on the back of the bulletin, you will see our prayer list. We do want to, as we come to our time of prayer, we want to remember those who did give their lives in service to our country. And we need to remember the families that they left behind as well. We want to pray for Dennis and his family as they're traveling this week. We want him to return safely next week, because I really don't want to preach 2 weeks in a row. Helen and David Heath, the Rowe family, those are the ones that are friends or relatives of my friend Debbie. They lost a baby. They have another one that has heart problems, and then they have another one that was like 4 months premature and is in NICU. Continue to keep them in their prayers. An update on them, Ellie Grace, the one with the heart problems, she is doing pretty good. She's gaining strength, and she is facing some more surgery at some point in time, but for now, she's doing very well. Paisley, the one that is still in NICU, she is continuing to gain strength, and she is almost up to 3 pounds now, so that's an answer to prayer. Continue to pray, please. Ethan and Abby Shane, Vicki Dorman, Jim Beller, Larry Shelton, Donna Hale, and Joanne Long. Do we have any updates on anyone?
I do. Susan Oliver's friend is Donna Hale, and she would like us to keep her in prayer because she was facing, she was going to get a mammogram, afraid that she had breast cancer, and it came back that she does have breast cancer. So Donna Hale will keep her in our hearts facing her breast cancer diagnosis. Susan Oliver's mom is Joanne Long, and she has blood pressure issues. And lastly, the Olivers are not here this morning because Danny's aunt passed away, and they're having to travel to Kentucky to be with family there. So the Oliver family facing a lot.
Yes.
Don't want to hog it all up, but my mom, Marge Swenson, please keep her in prayer because she's having some complications from her medicine that she takes for the leukemia, and she's having to stop that medication for a while. And we hope that the complications will resolve.
I also want to add someone who's been on our list off and on for the past year, Mark Gilliam, one of my co-workers, who has been battling cancer. He went through his treatment. He's been doing really well, and he is hoping within the next month that he will actually get to stop working at home and return to the office. So he's doing really well. That's praise. Is there anyone else that needs to be added? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to come and worship you this morning. We recognize that we have this honor and privilege in part from the sacrifice that many in our military service have made with their very lives. to ensure that we have the freedom that we can meet and worship you in the manner that we see fit according to how we understand Scripture. We ask that you be with us during this service and that you help us keep focused on you. And we love you, Lord, and we praise and honor you. We ask that you put your healing hand on those that have been mentioned this morning. And we know that all healing comes from you. Sometimes you use physicians and sometimes you just flat out heal people. And we ask that you see to the needs of those that we've mentioned and those that maybe haven't been mentioned. Please be with us this week and help us to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to you. And Father, we also thank you so much that you taught us how to pray when we don't necessarily have the words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Page 86.
Thank you.
Bible reading today is Ether 4:13-17. So if you would turn in your Bibles. He sent back his answer, "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone, of all the Jews, will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my attendants will fast with you too. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus shed for us, the body that was broken for us, so that we could be reconciled to him. So I want you to keep that in mind. He took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He also took the cup and said, "This is my blood that is poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thanks be to Christ for the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Usually, when I fill in for Dennis, I choose a passage of scripture and share with you what my understanding of it is, and I'll include things that I've learned from ministers through the years, and share some stories of how God has demonstrated to me whatever truth is present in the passage. Today, I'm not going to do that. I'm still going to tell you a story, and you will even get one about my family towards the end. But today, I'm going to share one of my favorite stories from the Bible with you, the story of Esther. Now, Tommy Oakes, who served as a campus minister at East Tennessee State University and then later at Milligan College, says that he thought that the story of Esther should be turned into a musical. And he and his son, John Thomas, eventually did that. It's called Star Queen, because the name Esther means star. If you ever get the chance to see the play, you should. It's great. And the story definitely lends itself to be a musical. The story has a little bit of everything. It starts with wild Persian parties. I mean, the first chapter talks about a party that lasted 180 days. And then when it was over, they had another one that lasted 7 days, you know, in case 180 days of partying wasn't enough for you. At the end of the 7 day party, King Xerxes, or Ahasuerus, depending on if your translation is using his Greek or Hebrew name, orders his wife, Queen Vashti, to leave the party she's been having with the women, put on her crown, and come parade herself before his guest. Commentators disagree on why Vashti refused and whether she was right in her refusal. Some commentators say that what he actually said was to come wearing only her crown. Some say that she had given birth that year, and that was why she didn't want to be seen. Some say that she was actually trying to follow the law that Persian wives weren't to be seen by strangers. And others say she was just being defiant for the sake of being defiant. Well, no matter what her motivation was, whether righteous or defiant, naked or clothed, I can't really say that I blame her for refusing to walk into a room full of drunken men. In light of the position of women in Bible times, Warren Wiersbe says, her response, of course, was a triple offense on her part. Here was a woman challenging the authority of a man, a wife disobeying the orders of her husband, and a subject defying the command of the king. So, of course, the king was displeased, and he asked his advisors what he should do. And their response was motivated by selfishness and not from what was best for their king or country. But the basic answer was, replace her. This brings us to the next part of the story. Let's have a beauty pageant. Well, sort of. In this beauty pageant, the contestants were made part of a harem and were given a year to make themselves pretty. At the end of the year, each spent one night with the king so he could determine which one pleased him most. I doubt Esther was thrilled about this, but she didn't really have a choice. Esther was raised by her cousin Mordecai. Whether it was godly wisdom or just common sense, Mordecai told Esther not to tell anyone that they were related or that she was a Jew. The Jews were in captivity, after all. And as we know, Ahasuerus chooses Esther, who then becomes queen. What happens next? Another party. This one, however, doesn't seem to get out of control or last more than a day or two. Next, we have the plot to kill King Ahasuerus, which Mordecai overhears. Mordecai gets word to Esther, who then tells the king and gives credit to Mordecai for this information. The ne'er-do-wells are put to death instead. And to show his appreciation to Mordecai, the king writes his name in a book. Wow, such gratitude. After all this happens, the villain enters. Yep, we're just now getting to the main villain of the story, Haman. We aren't told how he rose in the ranks, but the first mention of him is that the king has given him authority over the princes there. And Haman has somehow convinced the king to declare that everyone should bow before Haman. Warren Worsby says, not content with merely having a high office and using it, Haman wanted all the public recognition and honor that he could secure. Although the ancient people of the Near East were accustomed to giving public displays of homage, the king had to issue a special edict concerning Haman, or the people would not have bowed down to him. And if you read the account of Esther in the works of Josephus, Haman is to be worshipped. Now, whether Mordecai is refusing to bow because he is refusing to worship Haman, or because he sees the type of person that Haman really is, I don't know. But Haman was so full of pride, hate, and anger that he wanted to kill not only Mordecai, but all the Jews everywhere. So Haman goes to the king and tells him all about this evil people who don't follow the king's laws, completely leaving out the fact that it's only bowing before Haman that isn't being obeyed. And Ahasuerus says, okay, here, you can use my signet ring, do whatever you want. Gotta love Ahasuerus. So letters are sent across the kingdom, and the date for the execution of all Jews is set. When Mordecai hears about this, he starts mourning, complete with sackcloth and ashes. Not just Mordecai, but Jews throughout the kingdom start mourning. When Esther tries to get him to put off his mourning, Mordecai sends word back about what's going on and asks her to intervene with the king. Esther replies that she hasn't been summoned in a month, and if she goes to the king, and he doesn't extend his scepter to her, she'll be put to death on the spot. This brings us to our scripture reading today. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, liberation and rescue will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this." Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My attendants will also fast in the same way. And then I will go into the king, which is not in accordance with the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded him. Now, Mordecai was correct. Esther had obtained royalty so that she could be instrumental in delivering the Jews from Haman's plot. And I absolutely love that she doesn't really try to argue with Haman after reminding him that she could die if the king didn't extend his scepter to her. According to Josephus and other historical writings, there were guards that stood around the throne with axes, ready to kill anyone who approached without being summoned. And the king extending his scepter was the only thing that would prevent this. Esther is basically telling Mordecai that even if she goes to the king, she might not actually be able to have her petition heard. And Mordecai's response is that if she doesn't try, she will die anyway. Her reply to this was to ask for prayer and fasting for 3 days. And she would also pray and fast for those 3 days. This was an urgent situation. And 3 days of praying, not even taking time out to eat, demonstrated that their sincerity demonstrated their sincerity and helped them focus on God and His will. They understood that God was their deliverer. At the end of the 3 days, Esther would approach the king and accept that if she died, she died. And had faith that deliverance would still come. But she needed to step up and be willing to sacrifice her life if that's what it came to. Of course, the story doesn't end there. Ahasuerus does hold out his scepter to Esther, and she immediately asked him to dinner and requested that he bring Haman. This right here shows me that God is answering the prayers of Esther and her people. God gives her the wisdom to wait. Remember that she hasn't seen Ahasuerus in a month. They don't have the husband-wife relationship that we think of today where she could just say to him, "Honey, I forgot to tell you that I was a Jew, and because I'm a Jew, I'm going to die when Haman kills all of us. Could you please stop him?" She wanted to spend a little time with him, and I'm pretty sure that that was partly so she could feel him out on whether he actually hated the Jews too. After all, it was his signet ring that was used to authorize Haman's plan. She probably wanted to make sure that it was all Haman, and Ahasuerus was just trusting the wrong person again. He had a habit of trusting the wrong people. The king and Haman came to the banquet. Ahasuerus asked Esther again what requests she would make of him. So she gathers up her courage and says, "I'd like you and Haman to come to another banquet tomorrow." Of course, Haman was over the moon that he had been asked not to just one banquet, but two, with just the queen and the king. His humongous ego was inflating even more. And then he saw Mordecai again. Mordecai wouldn't bow before him. He wouldn't stand at attention. He wouldn't even tremble in fear before him. And as impossible as it may seem, Haman's fury grew even more. He went home and whined to his wife and friends about Mordecai, not acknowledging his greatness. "Why, even Queen Esther thinks that I'm wonderful. I'm the only guest other than the king for a banquet she's giving." And his wife and his friends gave him the brilliant advice to build a gallows and hang Mordecai. God had other plans. He wanted Ahasuerus to remember that his life had been saved by a Jew. This was critical before Esther tells him that she's a Jew and all of her people are about to be killed. So Ahasuerus had a sleepless night and had someone read to him from the chronicles of his reign. Remember that Mordecai had stopped an assassination of the king and all the thanks that he got was to have his name written in a book. Well, that's the book that Ahasuerus was having read to him. And it bothered him that he hadn't done anything for Mordecai. In true Ahasuerus fashion, though, he asked Haman, what should be done for the one that the king wishes to honor? And Haman, in true fashion to himself, thought only of himself. He just knew that the king wanted to honor him. I mean, who else could it possibly be? So he tells the king that the one the king wants to honor should be dressed in the king's clothes, put on the king's horse, and led through the city square by one of the noble officers, proclaiming that this is what is done for the one that the king wishes to honor. The king tells him to go and to do this for Mordecai the Jew. Now, you know that inside Haman was screaming, but he probably didn't proclaim very loud that this was what was done for the one that the king wishes to honor. And to be honest, I don't really think Mordecai enjoyed it much either, because when it was over, he dismounted the horse and he went right back to sitting at the gate. Romans 12:19 says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. This is one of the examples that what God comes up with is so much better than what we could ever dream of. I mean, your enemy has to shout that you are the most favored of the king. I would have been able to come up with that. Not in a million years. But that's what happened. It's also, in this instance, God is trying to get Haman's attention. But Haman didn't see it. His wife and his friends did. Because when he went home and complained again, they said that if Mordecai was a Jew, that Haman was not going to win. They recognized that Haman was one of God's people. Haman goes to the second banquet, and the king asks Esther again what she desires. This time, she asks that her life and the lives of her people be spared. Ahasuerus asked who wants to kill them, and she says it's that wicked Haman sitting right there. The king gets so mad that he leaves the room. Esther just accused Haman of plotting to kill her and all of her people, and the king leaves the room, leaving her alone with Haman. That amazes me every single time I read it. Way to protect your wife there. Now, Haman throws himself on Esther's mercy. And when Ahasuerus returns, he thinks that Haman is assaulting her. So he has Haman hung from the same gallows that had been built to hang Mordecai. Josephus said that, and from hence I cannot forbear to admire God and to learn hence his wisdom and his justice, not only in punishing the wickedness of Haman, but also in disposing it that he should undergo the very same punishment which he had contrived for another, as also because thereby he teaches others this lesson, that what mischiefs anyone prepare against another, he, without knowing of it, first contrives it against himself. Unfortunately, the king couldn't reverse the previous decree, but he makes a new one, giving the Jews the right to defend themselves. And he asked Mordecai and Esther to actually write it. which they did, and then they established the celebration of Purim so that they would never forget what happened. This is one of the reasons that I chose Esther's story for the sermon topic today. While Purim is a celebration of deliverance, Memorial Day is set aside as a day to remember the fallen of those who brought deliverance to us in the different conflicts and wars of modern times. I chose Esther's story because she was chosen for such a time as this, a time full of turmoil and danger. On Memorial Day, I think one of the best ways that we can honor the fallen is to look at their courage and determine to follow in their footsteps. To courageously serve in whatever God is calling us to do. My father served in World War II. He left high school early to sign up, but he still received his high school diploma. My grandma walked for him during the graduation ceremony, and she was not the only mother to do this. There were many, many other young men who left high school as soon as they were old enough to join. When my dad joined the Navy, he was given the choice to serve for 6 years or the duration of the war. At that time, everyone thought the war would certainly last longer than 6 years. My dad signed up for the duration. He knew he might not survive, but he also knew that the Nazis and the Japanese had to be stopped. Daddy was one of the fortunate ones who returned from the war, obviously, or I wouldn't be here. But just like those who paid with their lives, Daddy understood that he had been brought to a time and place to serve, to protect, to defend, and to possibly be the way that God delivered his people, Jews and Christians both, and the world from the evil desires of Hitler. Others have come to power since Hitler with those same desires of eliminating a people or a nation or just world domination. And our troops have stood up and said they will serve and they will lay down their lives if necessary. We need to always remember their sacrifice. But even more important, we need to keep at the forefront of our minds the sacrifice made by Jesus to deliver us from sin so that we can have eternal life with him if we will just accept him as our Savior. Hymn of invitation is 545.
Thank you.
to our time of offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for allowing us to meet this morning, and we ask that you take the gifts and offering that we bring and use for your kingdom. We ask that you use these gifts to help knowledge of your word and your love go forward. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.